Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Tuesday, July 24th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 86, the second paragraph, On Awakening, Let Us Think About, 24 hours ahead. Reading that paragraph only, and the comments will be on that paragraph. And today's readers are the 12 Steps, Matt M., the 12 Traditions, Nancy T., readers of the text, Leslie W., Elaine T., and Sherry K.B. The share ID for Monday, July 23rd, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 11,691. That is 11691. And for Tuesday, that's this morning, July 24th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 11,693. And our newcomer greeter will be Melanie C. Away preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Matt M. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Matt.
Yes, good morning, moderator. This is Matt M., compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Here are the 12 steps we've adapted for Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, accepting to do so or injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having kind of spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt M. And now, Nancy T., will you please read the 12 traditions?
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Nancy T., recovered compulsive overeater in Lewiston, Idaho. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Nancy T. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done, let us know. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 86, the second paragraph down on awakening. Let us think about the 24 hours ahead, and we'll be reading just that one paragraph and comments on that. And I will now ask Leslie W. to get us started.
Thank you, Mo. This is Leslie W. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. Yes, okay. When I first read this paragraph, I thought to myself, asking God to divorce my thinking from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. You know, that's a tall order for me, and I think for a long time I really wasn't sure how to even go about doing that. Thinking about my day and planning my day, that I could do. that was as far as I got. You know, I made my list, you know, and if I had gotten everything checked off my list, then it was a good day. If I didn't get everything checked off my list, well, then I was a big fat failure. And it was that black and white for me. It truly was. And there are many times in my life where I wake up, many days where I wake up and I think that such and such needs to occur. Okay, this is how my day is going to go, X, Y, Z. You know, and it doesn't go that way. Things happen. Life happens. Kids get sick. I get sick. Circumstances beyond my control. And so if I can ask God for help, from the get-go, it says before I begin. So that means before I start running, into my day, you know, I've got to ask God to direct my thinking so that my motives can be pure. And without God's help, my motives, I guarantee you, are not going to be pure. I'm going to be looking out for numero uno, how can I get what I need so that I can feel okay? And a lot of times when for me, self-pity, that's one right there that I felt very justified in for a long, long time. And it is selfish. and I had to learn that. So today, I just ask for the right thought so that I can act, so that I can take the right action. I have to have that constant guidance. I don't know about you, but I have to have that constant guidance from my higher power in order to live a purposeful life, the life that he intends for me to live. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
That was perfect, Leslie. Thank you very much. And I will now remind everybody where we are. We're on page 86, starting with reading the second paragraph only on awakening. Let us think about the 24 hours ahead. And I will now take names of those who would like to share.
Ginger C.
Ginger C. Who was after Ginger C? John K. Who was after Ginger?
Donna B.
Donna D. Got you, Donna.
Melanie C.
Melanie.
Sunny S.
Sunny S. Was that Sunny?
Yeah, Sunny.
I got you, Sunny. Okay.
Paula D.
Paula D. Anyone else?
Sherry.
Okay. Oh, Sherry. Okay, I put you down, Sherry. Okay, we'll stop there.
Sophie in New York. Sophie S.
Okay, I'll put you in the first group of the next one. Was that Chelsea?
Sophie.
Chelsea. Okay.
Sophie. S-O-P-H-I-E. Sophie.
Oh, Sophie. Sorry, Sophie.
Yes.
I'll put you in the next
thank
group,
you.
Sophie. Okay. All right.
I'm brand new. Thank you.
All right. So in the first group, I have Ginger C, Donna D, John K, Melanie C, Sunny S, Paula D, and Sherry K B. Ginger C, you're up, followed by Donna D.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service. Ginger C, recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And thank God for these clear-cut directions, because I have a life and death illness with this food that is desperate to get back into my mouth. And what's my number one problem? I'm powerless over that. I lack power. So, following these directions, I have a great chance of keeping that power in between me and that bite that, again, is so desperate to get back in. And I love just the very beginning words, on awakening. You know, when my eyes open, the first thing I say is, good morning, God, because that's what I lack and that's what I need. And I need to be in this connection. Even before my feet hit the floor and my knees hit the ground and I do that third step prayer at my bedside, it's good morning, God, on awakening. And then I love this last sentence. You know, our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. And those wrong motives are those selfish motives. Ginger show, I, self, and me, the ism of the disease. And so when that can be cleared and I'm back out of me and into you, my plane is much higher. I get to do things that are miraculous. And God works in such mysterious, beautiful ways. But if I'm all about me and my little plans and designs and how I'm about to lose something that I don't want to lose or not get something that I think I deserve and I need, where am I? I'm back to me thinking all about Ginger. So 77 tells me clearly, you know, my real purpose is to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. And God could put someone right next to me, right in front of my face. But if my thinking is all about me, I'll miss it. I will not be open and available to do God's work. And that's my problem, this ego that wants to edge God out, this selfish, self-centered state that I know all so well. But with these clear-cut directions, I have a great chance to do God's work if I'm in this fit spiritual condition. And it's not only on awakening, but all those minutes throughout that day. Because whatever I'm thinking is where I'm heading. So am I back to me or am I into you? And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. Donna, is the last initial D? I'm not sure. Followed by John K.
This is Donna B, as in boy.
Oh, B. Sorry, Donna.
Yes.
Okay,
thank
got
you.
It.
Thank you. Recovered compulsive overeater calling from Denver, Colorado. Upon awakening, I really need to ask for God's help to be free of self-seeking. I've recently completed the steps, and what became so apparent to me is that one of the ways that I engage in self-seeking behavior is seeking other people's opinion of me and modifying my behavior, modifying my personality, modifying my being to try to extract the most approval from the people around me. And in doing my 10 steps over the last few days, I have come to see how dishonest that behavior is and how it blocks me off from my higher power. Because when I'm seeking approval or validation from the people around me, they become my higher power. So upon awakening, right when I wake up in the morning, I need to ask a power greater than myself to focus my attention on how I can be of service to my higher power and to the fellows about me. Otherwise, I'm going to hit the ground running and start looking for other people to make me feel better about myself, because I've not had the experience of getting love and protection and abandoning myself entirely to a power greater than myself. So as I continue to work the steps, and as I continue to live in steps 10, 11, and 12, I hope that my higher power will redirect my thinking from morning through night, where I'm looking for God's direction, not for other human beings to tell me I'm okay and what I should do. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. John K., followed by Melanie C. John?
Thank you very much. Thank you for Team Tuesday. This is John Kiernan, recovered compulsive eater in Los Angeles. You know, every time I read this book, I think folks who put this book together in the steps were so smart and, I think, divinely inspired. I mean, they understood we're human beings and that we're going to be prone to backsliding, if you want to use an expression. I mean, and as a result, they came up with these, what I always called keep-up steps. I had always heard early on, you know, the first three steps are the give-up steps. The ones, you know, 4 through 9 are the clean-up steps, and 10, 11, 12 are the keep-up. Because, you know, we're human, and part of this human condition, I think, is to operate with self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives a lot, you know? And we need a way to remind us on a daily basis what we're supposed to be doing. You know, I always joke that I walk around and there's two Johns in here. There's the one that I was born with and that I was raised with the first, you know, I don't know, 18 years of my life, which is not the one I want to be today. And then there's the recovered person that I have been working on ever since I came into my first program. And I need to remember that, you know, I heard in my first program, in probably my first couple of weeks, an alcoholic under enough pressure reverts to type. And I know with me, it's true. If I'm trying to live like a recovered person, I need to remember this on a daily basis. And I always thought to myself, you know, that this progression as we read this book, that in the beginning when people were talking about the end of the 10-step promises, or where it talks about maintaining a fit spiritual condition, there were probably other people who said, okay, well, how exactly do we do that? You know, and somebody replied, well, funny you should ask, on awakening, you know, and then followed by when we retire at night. And you know, to this end, I think starting and ending each day with some of these rituals, for lack of a better word, is a good way to go. And today I do. I know I take my dog out for a walk every morning, and it's quiet and it's peaceful, and I start thinking about how I'm going to go through my day, you know, trying to be an example of a recovered person. And I can just tell you, when I don't, you know, every once in a while I get an emergency call from a client I got to deal with and everything. When I don't, I feel like I'm going through my day and I'm not the author of my day. You know, I'm dealing with circumstances and just reacting. You know, I heard from another program, act, don't react. And and when I'm not having a chance to do my morning, you know, ritual, I feel like I've been thrown out of a car at like 60 miles an hour, and all I'm trying to do is to keep from going face down in the gravel. And when I get a chance to start my day right and to think about, okay, the next, this day I've got to deal with it, am I ready? It just seems to go better, and I have a more happy, peaceful day. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, John K. Melanie C., followed by Sunny S. Thank you. Melanie C., you're on.
Hey, thank you, Mo. This is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling in from Oregon. And this has been the greatest thing so for me to kind of cut through what it is that I used to do, what it was that I used to do, and it gave me exact order of things. And so I just simply take each one out and write it along a piece of paper so that I know I cover those things, just very, very elementary like that, because that's a good place for me to start in this process. Because in hindsight, what I realize is that I'm habitually a bit dimly shaded. And what that means for me is that I had come to be fairly pessimistic and negative about outcomes. I had a lifetime of poor outcomes. And so as you can imagine, I am started for that sort of thing to be continually that way. And it just told me how much I'd cut myself off, you know, that we talk about in these rooms, from the sunlight of my spirit, which is deep down inside of me. And I have that natural bend, that natural leaning anyway. And so I found that that natural bend is rather a rascal, and that bend snaps right back. So each day, I'll just tell you the secret here, you know, and I know you won't tell anybody, but I wake up every morning and my head says, ugh. And it's just a split second, and it goes away quickly, but that's that bend that's there in my mind. It's never going to let me leave that be. It's been there all of these years. Yet what I can do, because you all taught me by coming on the line and saying, you do it too, and by heck, I'm not going to be left out of this deal, how I address that kind of mind in this woman. I am, that's the other Melanie within me. So I just go through these things and I make a decision each morning. I'm going to prepare this day the best way that I know how to get the foundation, to get my sea legs underneath me in following this outline that somebody else had written that worked for them. And then the folks that pour into my life and the sponsor call that I have each day keeps that all in place. Because on my own, by myself, I have that bend, that leaning in me, remember I told you, and it won't take long that it'll become stronger than the voice that I have within myself that's deep down inside that started out being so silent and so small. And I just do this, and I said, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't trust myself to take care of myself in these kinds of ways. And somebody suggested years ago, start with 1 minute. Start with 1 minute, and that was just enough to say, you know, I think I can do this deal on 1 minute. I think the currency exchange can go with 1 minute, and thank God it's much more than that, much greater than that, and simply by following these little lines, just that's it. Am I feeling wonderful every second of the day? Nope, we reorganize and reset the clock every time that comes. That's just what I do, and with that I pass.
Thank you, Melanie C. Sunny S., followed by Paula D. Sunny S., press star
Hi.
One to un... Okay,
yeah.
Good. Okay.
This is Sunny S., calling from Colorado. I can be heard, right?
Yes, you can. Thank you now.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, so this is a following paragraph that really highlights for me how I have to end the day and start the day with program. And, you know, I think about the amount of time and effort that it took to be in my addiction. You know, the amount of effort that I put into how can I act like I'm a normal person and still get my way, still get to eat, you know, hide, steal, and all of those behaviors, and then really just see my life fall apart and because it just becomes unmanageable. And so by following these simple rules, really, or, you know, getting into these meetings and sharing, working with sponsees, starting and ending the day with recovery, it not only, like, loosens the knot, it just provides so much more clarity. Life becomes a lot more simple. And I'm not just exaggerating. It's just that I see options that I never saw before. you know, I can see how, you know, reading Bill's story, he even highlights this, right? The more he drank, the more he could see only one option. And for me, it was the same thing. The more I ate, the more solid one option became for me. However, now that I'm abstinent, now that I'm in recovery, I have thousands of options, and you know, situations that used to never be clear for me are suddenly easy decisions to make. And it's just by doing that, you know, starting the day with recovery and ending the day with recovery. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sunny S. Paula D., followed by Sherry KB.
Good morning. This would be Paula D. I recovered compulsive overeater. Well, at this time in New Hampshire. And this time, we use the word awakening. On awakening, let us think. Let's stop right there. Let us think. What do I think about 24 hours ahead? I don't think I can go that far. But I will let you know, when I read on awakening, I go to the back of the book, and this is what opens up for me. 567, the term spiritual experience and spiritual awakening I used many times in this book. And here we have them come together yet again. Upon careful reading, shows the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery. There's where it came together. My thinking was changed. I awakened. And I'm going to tell you, I was one of those people that awakened slowly, probably like much my age, not like my 3-year-old great-grandson. Oh my, he awakens in a totally different way. But we're going into a different realm here. We're going into the spiritual realm. And I want to just say, my mother is now 96, going to be 97, August 2nd. And she says, when I awaken, I say good morning to God. I'm not sure of the place I'll be in, but I know either place he will be with me. Much wisdom she has given me. And it said, we consider our plans. And I like the word our, not my plans. It must be God's plans and my plans that come together. Your plans, now this is as I am reading it and I am sharing from my heart. For the day, we've been given a day. What a gift. I don't know what it's going to hold. Oftentimes, what seems the most disastrous are the ones that grow me in ways that I could have never imagined. My dependence on God, we read it in the book. Your dependence cannot be on another person. It cannot be on a sponsor. Your dependence on God must be on God. Everything falls into place. I don't know how, sometimes reluctantly, but it does. And then we ask God to direct our thinking there again. I need direction. I need direction. I thought as I got older, oh, I'll know the way. I could have never imagined the way that I would have traveled. God did. And yes, he directed my thinking for the path that I would have to go into. And then it says it's divorced from. I did suffer a divorce after 33-year marriage. Divorced is final and cutting and ending. Divorced from. And I love that. Self-pity. Oh, now I'm zeroing in because I don't want to go extend my time over then. But what a thing. And I want to just say, as I read this, as I listened, I am learning more and more. Quiet. Quiet. And you'll see it. I didn't see the dishonesty in my life.
Time.
Look at that. See, I always get my guidance, and I thank you for that. With that, I will pass. And thank you again.
All right. Thank you, Paula D. Sherry KB.
Good morning, Ma. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Mo, and everybody on the line. I love what people have said. And, you know, I don't know about you, but when I wake up, I don't know necessarily what state I'm going to be in when I wake up. When I think about the years that I've been face down in the food, I would always wake up in a food fog. I never knew what I was going to think or do all the time, and it was always these wrong motives, you know, self-seeking and, you know, self-pity and a lot of self-pity. And now that, you know, the food's been down, I've worked the steps, I'm in step 11, you know, I have a whole new way of thinking now, especially when I wake up. And, you know, I realize, you know, one of my powerlessnesses is how I wake up. What are my thoughts going to be? But I don't have to worry about it anymore, because when I wake up, you know, I know that my thoughts are going to be turned to God, ask God to please direct, and it says on awakening for the 24 hours. So that means my thoughts need to be towards God 24 hours a day, even when I'm sleeping. And it's just that asking God to direct me instead of running the fairy show, instead of, you know, trying to force things the way I want it to be, I ask God to help me, and that God divorces me from self-pity and dishonest and self-seeking motives. And it says that we can employ our mental faculties. That means my skills, my abilities, my powers. And, you know, now that I'm God-centered, I have a lot more power in a really good way, in a way in which my life takes on a much higher plane, because my thinking is cleared of wrong motives. And that's a constant thing. I still, you know, have that self-will in there, so I have to ask and turn to my higher power 24 hours a day is what it's telling me. And if I do that, my life's going to go so much better if I do it that way. And I just love, and the word ask does mean prayer. So I'm in prayer when I wake up. I'm asking God to direct my thinking. I don't necessarily get up and do everything right away. We're all different. You know, if it was a perfect world, it would be totally different. But, you know, I get up, but I do get on my knees, and I do my prayers, and I ask God to direct my day. I ask God to help me to be useful to God and others. And I just, you know, ask my day to be started out that way. I do meditation, but sometimes it varies throughout the day. And in the morning, my best time is in the morning, but sometimes that doesn't happen because it's called life. But I do know that I do put this program in my higher power first. It's very important, because then the rest of my day goes so much better when I do. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. And I would like to remind everybody where we are. We are on page 86, the second paragraph, on awakening. Let us think about the 24 hours ahead. And more comments on that paragraph only. And I have Sophie as our first person for the second group. And who else would like to share?
Robin P. in Los Angeles.
Miranda F.
Say that again.
Miranda F. as in Sam.
Okay. Gotcha, Miranda.
Laurie S.
Laurie.
Robin P. in Los Angeles.
Robin P. Lori, I didn't get your last initial.
Yes, as in Sam.
Sam, okay. One more?
Greg B.
Greg B. Okay, thank you, Greg. Okay, so we have Sophie. I don't have the first initial of your last name. Robin P., Miranda S., Lori S., Robin P., and Greg B. Sophie, you're...
Wait.
Sophie?
Yes, hi. This is Sophie S., like Sophie Sugar. This
okay,
is my,
got it.
Yeah, hi. This is my very first meeting for OA. My very first meeting for OA. I have no recovery. I am not abstinent. I'm 72 years old. I just turned 72. And before... years ago, I was actually could act like a normal person. I didn't have to think about food. I ate if I was hungry. I did not overeat, but I hate to give myself labels, but I am a compulsive overeater. I taste the food. I'm not an alcoholic, but an alcoholic, my son is, cannot have one drink. Well, when I taste the food, I don't stop no matter what it is. I'm addicted to sugar, but I don't stop no matter what it is. If it's bread, if it's vegetables, I just eat tremendous amounts. And I can't even look at myself. I'm overweight. I can't look at myself if I'm brushing my teeth and I'm undressed. I have to cover up for myself. And I wasn't always like this. I didn't have a problem with food. It's the last 3 years that I do. So I'm hoping that it was my birthday last week, and I went out to eat with my cousin, and she told the waiter and the hostess that it was my birthday, and because I wanted to have the free dessert, get something for free, but they didn't bring it. They forgot to bring it. And at first I was upset, but I wish it would have been my will and that I didn't say it was my birthday. But it was happenstance that they didn't bring it. And my cousin said it was meant to be that they didn't bring it. And I was really happy then, because if I would have eaten it, this is a no-win situation for me. I then hate myself. I get the immediate gratification, but after that, I feel like crap. So I'm happy that I didn't eat it. And today is my first day. I'm going to pray that I can work with God to help myself. Thank you very much for listening. I pass.
Well, and thank you, Sophie. Yes, welcome to the meeting. And just a reminder that our comments, we try to keep them focused on the paragraph we are reading, which is on page 86, the second paragraph on awakening. Robin P., you're up next, followed by Miranda S.
Hi, this is Robin P. in Los Angeles. I hope you didn't get me twice. So I just wanted to make sure. But anyway, I'm Robin P. I'm in Los Angeles, and I'm grateful. Recovered compulsive overeater, and upon awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead, and we consider our plans for the day. You know, I've been abstinent and recovered for over 2.5 years, and I just started getting on my knees, meditate and pray, but I started doing. Because I just want to make sure that physically, emotionally, and spiritually, I am surrendering this day to God. And, you know, without God, I've shared this before. I came into this program, I developed, and that's the way I was raised. And God was the least.
Robin, can you pause for a minute? Is someone unmuted here? Please mute your phones, everyone. Thank you. Robin, continue.
Thank you, thank you. And now God's the most important relationship in my life and means the most to me. And that's because of this program. And upon awakening, one means that for me. It's upon my spiritual I get a gift of 24 hours and that to work with God. And it has to be divorced from self-pity, dishonest or self-seeking mode, because I can go into self in a second and a half and I don't even know it. And someone will say, wow, that sounds like self-pity. And I'll just start laughing.
Robin, I think it's your phone that's causing this noise.
Oh, I don't think so. I was hearing somebody else too.
Okay.
Is it better
now? I don't know what's happening. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. I was hearing somebody else also. But anyway, I'll just wrap up. But I'm really grateful for this program. I'm so grateful to keep growing spiritually in this program. And that, you know, I always say I either get to grow up or I grow out, and I'm so grateful that I'm growing up. And every day I just get to get closer to God. I cannot rest on my laurels. I get to keep growing. And so thanks so much, you guys. God bless everybody in your recoveries. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin P. Miranda S., followed by Lori S.
Thank you so much. This is Miranda S., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minnesota. And the next couple paragraphs in the book, so starting with today's on awakening, I won't talk about the one following that, but these are some of the most significant parts of program for me that are part of my plan of action, because I do a really good job of packing a lot into my day when I'm driven by self-will. So when I first was in program, this was a place where I started to see traction in recovery, because I started to notice that the things I was packing into my day were really manifestations of my character defects, which are all driven by self-will. So any type of defect I have is because I'm relying too much on myself, whether it's from a place of pity, a place of ego, grandiose thinking, whatever it is, all those different versions of self that come up. So what I have to do every day then is remember, just like Melanie C. shared, just remember that I'm going to wake up and I'm going to feel a little, you know, sometimes I feel a little something that's not wonderful feeling about, you know, I don't want to say about program. That's not it exactly. But, you know, I'm not thrilled always that I have to deal with life in a way that maybe is different from normal eaters. But it's not a problem, you know. Like, I know that about myself, and I have to remind myself of it. So rather, actually, I see it as kind of an empowering thing, that on awakening, I know that on awakening, I get to remind myself about it. Because before I was recovered, when I wasn't reminding myself about it, I could pretend that ignorance was bliss. But that way of living was not blissful. So now I get to remind myself. I have the awareness. I have the conscious contact with a higher power that allows me to remember that I'm in program and that I'm a compulsive overeater. And then I look at, like, all the stuff that I've got packed into the day. And I pause for a minute, and I have to gauge, like, how do I feel about all that stuff that's packed into my day that's on my calendar? Because it may or may not happen, but I need to really examine, like, am I feeling any type of restlessness, irritability, discontentment, any emotion attached to it? Do I feel an urgency that I gotta go? Because anytime I'm feeling those things, again, those are my character defects coming up in some way, and I have to pause there. And now I'm starting to talk about the next paragraph. Like I said, I wouldn't. So I just wanted to say this is really important. This has been a huge part of my recovery. And it starts with on awakening and just kind of looking at what's coming up for the day. So thanks so much for the opportunity to share, and I pass.
Thank you, Miranda S. Lori S., and I think I had Robin P. down there twice. So, Lori, you'll be followed by Greg B.
Thank you so much, Mo. Lori S. in Silicon Valley, recovered. What really strikes me is that earlier in the book we talked about that there is a personality change sufficient for recovery. My ego says my first thought in the morning is all about me. In step 11, it's the reminder, conscious reminder, that my first thought is not to be about me. It's supposed to be, and I'm so grateful for, my first thought is anything but me. There's a little joke in my circle that says, be the kind of person that when your feet hit the floor, the devil goes, oh, crap, they're up. And I want my first thought to be, how can I serve my higher power? How can I love my fellow human? And if I don't spend the time every day in conscious contact with God to be aligned with God, my day falls pitifully short. And I'm so grateful for what this program has given me. And Mo, I thank you for your service, and I pass.
Well, thank you, Lori. Yes. Greg B. Press star 1, Greg, to unmute.
This is Greg. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Thank you, Greg.
Hey, sorry I'm in a crowded place, but thank you for your service. I'm Greg B. in Northern California, recovered, compulsive overeater, alcoholic, food addict, whatever you want to call it. Good stuff. I really, just my takeaway from what I've heard today and, you know, focus on the 24 minutes ahead. 24 hours is too much for me. I am a 1 minute at a time kind of guy because I love to, you know, I used to love to drink, you know, massive amounts of coffee, massive amounts of energy, adrenaline. And that, of course, we know. We pause. We relax and take it easy. What a concept. I don't have to power my way through my day. I don't have to dominate the world. I can't dominate myself. I certainly can't dominate my eating, you know. But it's funny because in the world we live in these days, you know, the work world especially, you know. You need to control the customer. You need to do this. You need to do that. You know, life and humanness is not akin to what we experience in the working world, unfortunately. And that's probably why I didn't fit in so well, because I'd rather be happy and I'd rather be in alignment with the world. But sometimes the world doesn't want to be aligned with me. So let's focus on what I can do in the next 24 minutes, which mostly is listen to this meeting, listen to others. There's a concept. That is spiritual listening. So I will continue to listen to others and through others, my higher power. And I'm Greg B. I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg B. Now we have time. We could probably squeeze two more people in there. Would anyone else like to share?
Carolyn C.
Paula?
No, it's Carolyn C.
Oh, Carolyn. Oh, so sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Carolyn C. and one other? Your chance to share.
Marilyn T.
Okay, Marilyn, that's it. Thank you. All right, Carolyn C., followed by Marilyn T.
Hi, this is Carolyn C. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for your service. This is Carolyn C., recovered for today from Colorado, but in Massachusetts on my way to Maine. And I'm just so happy to be able to share just a quick thought. And as I listen to everyone's shares, which are fantastic and always give me new great ideas of how to start my day, the one thing that I have really tried to tap into with this program and working the steps and working, you know, my own spiritual practice and connecting with a power greater than myself is to not look at my phone in the morning. And that may seem like a simple thing, but it's not. You know, a lot of us have our apps on our phone, what have you. But that's probably one of the first pieces of my spiritual practice each day is to know that my phone is not my God. And whatever is in there, whatever it's going to say, whatever my partner might have on his mind when I wake up, whatever might be happening in the neighborhood around me, none of that is as important as me taking quiet time. And it might only be a minute. It might be 5 minutes. I might have the morning to myself. But the key for me is to connect with a power greater than myself. Usually it's by opening up my For Today OA book and reading a passage and then writing and just being quiet with God and having that moment to say, you know, thy will be done. And how can I best serve you today in this day and be open to the messages that I will receive? And I'm not always perfect, but that is one of the things that really has helped my OA practice and living in program and being able to connect throughout the day is to just put the phone down and connect with my higher power. And that's all I got for today. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Carolyn C. Marilyn T., you'll close us out.
Thank you, Mo H. Thank you so much, everyone on the line. This is Marilyn T. We're grateful, a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater. I really appreciate what everyone said. There's a lot of food for thought. But what this program has really just taught me is that every day is another day to become more immersed in the program, to be more connected to my higher power. I have another chance, which I can take every minute of the day to turn my thoughts toward what God would have me be and do, and to be a different person than I am. I love Melanie C. for that naturally bent way. I am not naturally bent in wondering what I can do for other people. I am a selfish, self-centered person, and I need every morning to wake up and to greet the day with God and program and to change my thinking every day. And in doing so, I will be able to do what is needed by my God for to help other people and to become a better person. And to intuitively know what that is. And interestingly enough, it's to slow down. I'm a person that just goes too fast, and I don't accomplish really anything when I'm going that fast. So being able to relax, to slow down, to listen, and to do the next right thing, and to be in program. For that, I'm eternally grateful. Thank you very much. Pass.
Thank you, Marilyn T. And we will thank you to all who shared, and thank you to our people that gave service, Matt M., Nancy T., Leslie W., Elaine T., and Sherry K.B. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will ask Elaine T., to read a vision for you.
Good morning. This is Elaine T., recovered just for today in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. I pass.
Thank you. Has the recording been stopped?